Manx Radio Sport.
A very good evening to our listeners on Manx Radio AM 1368. This is the latest edition of Saturday Sports Classified, your latest sporting results from across the Isle of Man. The big focus today on cup competition in Manx football, the Manx Quality Sheds Hospital Cup quarterfinals, with a smattering of league fixtures thrown in on what is a doubleheader weekend of competition, which we will discuss later on. And what's more, with regards to the Hospital Cup, we will be bringing you the live draw for the final four, the Manx Quality Sheds Hospital Cup semi-finals later on in the programme. Just a reminder for those listeners of Radio Caroline, if you're looking to keep tuning into Radio Caroline, that is continuing right now on Manx Radio DAB and Digital. So if you are looking to tune in to Radio Caroline, head on over to Manx Radio DAB and Digital. In the meantime, let us bring you the classified football results for Saturday, the 4th of May 2024. The Manx Quality Sheds Hospital Cup quarterfinals. Peel 1, St John's United 0. Laxey 3, Douglas Royal 0. Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys 0, Ramsey 3. Ayr United 6, Moraun 1. The Canada Life Men's Premier League. Russian United 0, Union Mills 4. St George's 1, St Mary's 1. DPS Limited Division 2. Douglas High School Old Boys 11, Jims 0. Foxdale 8, Malou 0. Governors Athletic 0, Onken 7. And DPS Limited Combination 2. Onken 7, Governors Athletic 0. Colby versus Foxdale is a late result. And Jims versus Douglasson District, an away walkover to Douglasson District, Jims unable to field a team. Those are your classified results in Isle of Man football for Saturday, the 4th of May, 2024. We do have that one outstanding result, as we've just mentioned, in DPS Limited Combination 2 between Colby and Foxdale. If you do have any details of those, please do text us in 166177. In the meantime, we're going to take a look through what has been another busy day, and well, in fact, a busy week in terms of Isle of Man football. Another packed midweek schedule has been followed by another packed fixture of league and cup competitions throughout Saturday. And joining us after emerging from the mist out at Glen Road earlier today is Tony Meppham. Tony, very good evening.
Good evening, Rob.
And just taking a look, well, we'll take a look through some of these results. And of course, let's not forget the live draw for the Manx Quality Sheds Hospital Cup semi-finals to come as well. Carl Gartland joins us in the studio in just a few minutes' time for that one. So, Tony, let's turn our attention to start with the Manx Quality Sheds Hospital Cup quarterfinals. The final four have now been decided after the final four fixtures, well, the four fixtures of the quarterfinals taking place today. Two derbies were taking place. We did have a derby out in the west, and that saw the Canada Life Men's Premier League leaders Peel taking on a St John's United side who are mid-table at the moment in the Premier League, not been able to quite find the form to push further up the table, but they've certainly given Peel a good go today. Peel only winning by 1-0, and that was despite, Tony, St John's going down to 10 men in the first half.
Yeah, fair play to them, Rob. And let's have a look at that one first, because it was St John's down to 10 players after 30 minutes in the first half. Ray Lovell it was who got sent off. And by all accounts, it was just one of those. I've got a little bit of a match report if you want to take it on board. We'll see if we can get it up shortly. And it was, you know, Peel, I think it was Paul Whitehead got the goal. And that
Paul
was,
Whitehead with the goal, yeah. That was confirmed.
And that was after a good cross in by Lee Gale and put it away. But Ray Lovell, I believe he got booked, and then it was one for dissent. He was sin-binned. Don't know what else sort of happened, but it was all in sort of one event, and he got sent off in the end. But no doubt about it, today the star was Alex Haddock in goal for St John's. Pulled off some blinding saves, but it doesn't matter, 1-0 or 20-0. It's Peel who go through into the next round. And St John's will be disappointed that he couldn't keep the 11, and by the sound of it, may have had a chance.
But, you know, going towards the business end of the season for St John's perspective, yes, out of the cup against a very good Peel side, but going towards the last stages of the campaign, can they take confidence from a result like that they've made the current leaders of the Premier League, defending champions, of course, giving them a run for the money here?
Yeah, definitely. St John's are a good side, and when they've got the full contingent out, then they can cause all sorts of problems, and we've seen that over recent games. But, you know, they've got one or two key players injured today, but no, they'll look at it and rebuild for next year. They've got some good players coming through. There's one or two that might just call it a day because of age and just not being available. But Sam Brown's done a pretty good job there. And against a real top side in Peel today, only losing that 1-0. Fair play.
And then over at Glen Road, Laxey taking on Douglas Royal in another all Premier League clash. Tony, this was the game you were at today. Laxey emerging 3-0 winners today, but in a game, by the sounds of the reports you had coming through to us on Saturday Live with Paul Moran, a game that maybe just lacked a little quality at times in the final third.
Yeah, I think it did. And in the first 5 minutes, I just thought to myself, you know, Royal have got a good chance here, because I thought Dominic McCarry-Brennan looked a little bit of a threat. He had a chance. He nipped the ball to his right-hand side and just didn't quite have enough on it to get the angle in to put it in, because it could have quite easily have been Douglas Royal 1-0 up. But fair play to Douglas Royal defensively throughout the 90 minutes. They stuck at it, and I thought James Callow was excellent, the number three. And, you know, they just kept going, and Lucas Watterson as well. The two of them worked well as a partnership. And you know, mention to Ollie Horbury as well, because what opportunities that he had to pull off some good saves, he did. So fair play to them. But it was George Burrows who got the first one to give Laxey the lead. Then Ethan Hawley got the second. I missed the third one, Rob, because I went into the changing rooms just to wash my hands. And there was the third one had gone in. I missed it. But fair result for them in the end. Yes, Douglas Royal had a couple of chances in that second half. Glenn Walker equal to one of them, managed to hold on to it. And then the second one went wide. So disappointment for Royal. But I would say that they'll look at that and say, listen, with a depleted team, we've done well. We've competed with one of the best sides in the league. And they'll look next season as well, with the younger players developing more, to see if they can put a push on and move up that league.
And it was Joe Walters with that third goal for Laxey during the day. Well, Laxey, Tony, again, we talked about this on Friday Sport Preview last night. A lot of people at the start of the campaign were tipping Laxey to be challenging up towards the top in the Canada Life Men's Premier League. It hasn't quite worked out that way, but heading into the semi-finals of the Hospital Cup as well, do you think they will still think that there's silverware potentially on the cards this season?
Possibly. They'll have to play a lot better next week than they did today, that's for sure. But one or two players coming back from a long-term injury, Joe Walters being one of them, Jordan Cooper another. And, you know, it's a game under their belt, and hopefully there's no reaction to their injuries. Plus, they've one or two players missing today. Cameron Avey, one. I think Will Cowan was missing as well. So they could come in and bolster things up. But we'll see how the draw goes later on. But I'm pretty certain that Laxey weren't happy with the performance in today's game against Douglas Royal, and they'll be looking to see what they can do midweek to sort of change those things. But in front of goal, they wasted quite a few chances today.
And for Douglas Royal, as you've already mentioned, a slightly depleted squad, which may have had an impact on the result today. But Douglas Royal, now turning away from cup competition, their focus will turn back to the league and the closing stages there, and become a little bit more precarious for they and a couple of other teams, given one of the results earlier today, which we'll come to in a moment when we get to the Premier League fixtures. But Douglas Royal, where do they go from here?
I think with Douglas Royal, it's one of those, you know, player availability. When I mean that, they've got sort of four or five players. I know a couple are at college who play for FC Isle of Man, so that hampers their progression there. But, you know, Michael Fitzmaurice has just got to look at it and just work on the younger players there, because they've definitely got some talent in there. Yes, there's two or three evergreen players playing in the squad today, which, you know, just help the numbers out. But I think, you know, Douglas Royal know that they need some more players to come through. They've got youth policy there where hopefully the players can come through. But certainly in the combination as well, they've got one or two older players in there. But younger players, again, might just be able to develop and make them a lot stronger.
Well, we talked about already there being one derby in the Hospital Cup today, the Western Derby, Peel beating St John's United by a goal to nil. There was a Northern Derby as well up at Lazare Road, where Ramsey Centre and Old Boys took on Ramsey. Ramsey Centre and Old Boys, the last remaining Division 2 side in the competition at this stage, up against a Ramsey team that have had quite a strong campaign so far in the top flight to date. And Ramsey Centre and Old Boys nil, Ramsey 3. But Tony, Ramsey Centre and Old Boys, they held out Ramsey for a long time in this game.
They pushed them hard, and you know, haven't. Hopefully, we may get a bit of a report coming through on that game. But 58 minutes was the first goal, Rob, and that was scored by Graham Kennish. And then it was 2 minutes later, Jamie Agnew made it two, so a little bit more relaxed then. And then 3 minutes later, so that's in 5 minutes, three goals. Graham Kennish got his second. I believe, Rob, I haven't got this 100%, but there was a problem with the pitch right at the start of the game because I had a message through that the game was possibly going to be postponed due to a waterlogged pitch. I would find that...
I did see a post on this because Paul Hatton was over there reporting on the game today elsewhere, and I did see a picture of him posted on Twitter. That even the referee was getting involved to try and get the game ahead. Liam Thomas, I saw with the pitchfork in hand inspecting the pitch, and with around 20 minutes or half an hour or so until kickoff, the referee did deem the pitch playable as well. So clearly a lot of effort from those who were there to get the game on, and indeed it did.
Yeah, fair play to them, because I wasn't too sure what had happened, whether there was something wrong with the pitch. I didn't realise, waterlogged, because we haven't really had a lot unless up north, but down in Douglas it's been pretty good. But fair play to everyone getting it on, and it's Ramsey going to the hat, the semi-final draw, which we'll do shortly.
And the remaining Hospital Cup quarterfinal, which took place, was up at Andrews Playing Fields. Ayr United, of course, outside of the cup, still trying to chase down Peel at the top of the Canada Life Men's Premier League, up against them around side, who've found some very good and important results in recent weeks, as well as they look to get away from the potential drop. Ayr United 6, Moran 1, and close contest by the sounds of it in the first half, but Ayr United just started to get away from Moran in the second.
Yeah, and when you look at this game, they played each other midweek, I think it was, and Sean Kelly with 2 goals, Chris Duggan got 1, Danny Oram with a couple of goals, and Christian Penswick with another, probably from a fullback position, so well done to him. Tom Redmond, it was, who got the goal for Moran, but good result for Ayr United. I would say 6-1 says to me pretty convincing, certainly it puts them in a better place, I think, going into midweek against Ramsey, where they've got that huge game, because if they lose that one, it's, to me, done and dusted. But certainly Moran today just didn't quite get it together, and United go into the hat.
They do indeed. So the 4 teams that will go into the hat for the Hospital Cup semi-final draw in a few moments' time. Peel, Laxey, Ramsey and Ayr United will come to that draw in a few minutes' time. But let's take a look at the league fixtures that took place today. There were 2 in the Canada Life Men's Premier League. One of them down at Croit Lowy in the south of the island. Russian United up against Union Mills. And Union Mills, the visitors, picking up some important points recently against the Russian United side, firmly rooted in mid-table. And a big 3 points again for Union Mills today, beating Russian United by 4-0.
Yeah, superb result that for Union Mills, and you can see why today. Goal scorers available for them. Tyler Hughes got 1, Luke Booth on the score sheet again, and Jordan Crawley. Those 3 can certainly finish. Kyle Uren normally pops in with 1, but he didn't get 1 today because it was Chaz Adams who got the 4th goal for Union Mills, so super result.
Chaz Adams' first goal for the club as
well. Yeah, well done to Chaz.
Congratulations to him. From Union Mills' perspective, Tony, there were concerns earlier in the season as to how things were going. There's been a bit of upheaval there in terms of the managerial side of things earlier in the season. But you've been quite complimentary of the gentleman who's taken up the post in what was a tough situation and started to pick up results again.
Yeah, it was. And I think, Ryan came in. It was difficult because they were struggling a little bit. But they changed things around, and he's done it. You know, he's kept them up there, because we were talking about it a few times that we just thought Union Mills might be the team that'd be involved with maybe Braddon to make the drop. But they picked up some handy points and some handy performances, because, you know, when you look at the one against Peel recently, good performance. And today against Russian, we've got to remember they won the FA Cup, and really strong team. I don't know if they're missing players today, but fair play to Union Mills. 4-0 is pretty convincing, and they'll be looking forward to the new season and see if they can sort of develop and climb up that league and promise what they nearly did last year. When you look at it, Railway Cup semi-final, stuff like that, they had a great season, but this year it's just dropped down a little bit, but great finish.
And for Russian United, Tony, as you rightly pointed out, ECAP FA Cup winners, a great achievement during the season. In terms of the league side of things, firmly embedded in mid-table going into these last few games of the league campaign. So, Russian United, do you think they'll look on this as a successful season? There's silverware in the cabinet, despite finishing mid-table.
Yeah, they had a poor start, didn't they, to the season, and then got it together. They won the FA Cup, fair play to them. Today's results, I would say, I'd be interested to see the team sheet. Tomorrow they've got a quarter final in the Junior Cup, and that's the one they're concentrating on. And if there's players involved, you know, it's one of them that you sit down and have a little look. And, you know, it's not really going to alter Russian United's league position. Might have sort of helped them a little bit, but they're not going to sort of win the league or anything. So that's probably why today they've had that heavy defeat. But, you know, Russian have got, I think, the right attitude now. There's some really good young players coming through, first team and combination, and it bodes well. And well done to the coaches down there who are pulling it all together.
Very well. And the other game, the Canadive Men's Premier League, was down at Glencrutchery Road, which saw St George's second from bottom going into today's fixtures and 1 point from safety, the higher of the two teams in the drop zone at the moment. Braddon's relegation already confirmed, but still a lot can happen between now and the end of the season in terms of the other team that might end up in the drop down to the second tier. St George's up against a St Mary's side who really show their strength at times during the season. St George's as well, a big result for them, 2-1 win away at Corinthians in midweek to keep themselves very much alive in the division. And another big result for them today, it's not 3 points, but it's 1 point against a strong St Mary's side. St George's won, St Mary's won.
Yeah, could prove a big point though at the end of the season, Rob, couldn't it? And when you look at St Mary's today, they took the lead through Joe Burquist, and then St George's, I think it was second half, Kieran McNulty scored from the penalty spot. You'd want him every day to take the penalty for you because he doesn't miss many, and that could be a crucial point for them. St George's won, St Mary's won.
And just looking at the table here, actually, with that St George's result, St George's, they stay 12th on 18 points, 11th Maroun on 18 points, just ahead on goal difference, and Douglas Royal in 10th on 21 points. But Douglas Royal with a slightly inferior goal difference to both Maroun and St George's here. So 3 points separating those three teams going into the last couple of games of the season. St George's now played 23, Maroun 23 and Douglas Royal 22. And of course, Douglas Royal and Maroun both in Hospital Cup action today. So Tony, right down to the wire here at the bottom of the Canada Life Men's Premier League.
It is. And, you know, it's one of those, isn't it? End of the season and, you know, pressure on all these clubs here. But, you know, when you look at Maroun and St George's, that's where most of it is. And some tough games there to be played. But we'll just see what happens. I know midweek there's some important games going ahead, and we'll see how they unfold.
And for St Mary's, good strong start to the season, a strong season overall, some would particularly argue as well. They've now moving on to 40 points, so 2 points behind Ramsey in third, so St Mary's staying fourth, but that keeps St Mary's 18 points behind Ayr United at this stage in the season. Of course, Ayr United and Peel battling away at the moment for the Canada Life Men's Premier League title. So what's needed from a St Mary's point of view, do you think, Tony, going into these last couple of games, particularly next season, to maybe try and make that little step further?
Yeah, I think St Mary's will look to bring some players in. I thought there was one or two players who played in the combination team who were worthy of playing in the first team. But that's up to Alex Harrison to sort that one out. Don't know whether Alex is coming back to play, because I believe he played 80 minutes last week. So whether he's going to put his boots on next season, I'm not too sure. But I think St Mary's had a really good start to the season. And, you know, when you look at Owen Canopy, you've also got Joe Burquist in there, Adam Adibaye as well. They were lethal in front of goal, and it was Carl Clark who sort of held everything together at the back. But need players, I think they know that, and St Mary's will be happy enough. When you think of it, Rob, 2-3 years ago they only had they had no teams, and they only sort of then came back into the league, did well, got promoted, and here they are, had another good season back in the Premier League. So they've done okay.
And then we move into DPS Limited Division 2. Three games there today and three big scorelines, but surely none bigger than what happened at Billy Goat Park today. Foxdale beating Maloo by 8-0, and that means that Foxdale have officially been promoted to the Canada Life Men's Premier League and into the top flight for the first time in 28 years, Tony. An incredible achievement.
Yeah, and let's go through this one. I got a match report, and thanks to Dean Turton for putting this together. Foxdale dominated from the start to finish against Maloo. And it was at a grey and drizzly Billy Goat Park this afternoon. The first goal came in only the fourth minute when Charlie Harrison was fouled inside the box. Ricky Newsham stepped up and made no mistake from the spot to give Dale the lead. Maloo insisted on playing a high line, and they were caught in the 16th minute. As they stood appealing, Jay Chatwood raced 40 yards from the ball, picked his spot and slotted home to make it 2-0. 10 minutes later, it was the turn of captain Stephen Bettridge, who went on a marauding run from inside his own half all the way into the Maloo box. He tucked home the third from close range. In the 36th minute, Maloo could only clear a corner as far as the edge of the box. An unmarked Newsham drove in goalwards to tuck a nick off a defender's foot and found the bottom corner. 42 minutes gone, and Jason Charmer got in on the acting, catching Ollie Barry napping. He ran 35 yards with the ball before bending a low effort into the far bottom corner to make it 5-0 at half-time. Maloo were a bit more positive in the start of the second half. Mikey Kenny and Jamie Booth had soft effort saved. But then, just after the hour, Kevin Pullman found Charmer breaking off the left. He kept his head and finished one-on-one with Dale's sixth. In the seventh comes after keeper Andy Ball sent a long ball forward. Chatwood won it and played it out to Liam Cannon on the left wing. He picked his head up, seen Richardson off his line and sent an effort curling over his head into the net from 30 yards. Kevin Pullman rounded out the scoring when he danced through the Maloo midfield, sat the keeper down with a step over and rolled the ball into an empty net from close range after 70 minutes. Foxdale expertly managed the rest of the game to keep a clean sheet and seal promotion back to the Premier League for the first time since 95-96 season. And there'll be some scenes in the Baltic this evening, that's for sure, and I'm pretty certain there will, but hopefully they're sobered up by Tuesday, because that's a great achievement. You know, small village club, and credit to them, finished it in style. Well done to everybody.
We'll come to that in a moment, what's coming up in a few days for them in midweek as well. But for Foxdale, Tony, it's the question I suppose we've been trying to answer the whole season is, we've seen in previous years, started strong, but maybe it's just petered out towards the end of the campaign. Very different this time around. Still undefeated. Unbeaten. In Division 2 as well after 19 games. So what's been the key this year? Not just to getting themselves promoted to the top flight at this point, but doing so undefeated as well. What's changed?
I think Jay Chatwood going back. You know, he transferred back from Corinthians to Foxdale. You know, he's been a top goal scorer for them. What, he's won Division 2 Player of the Year and the Silver Boot twice, which is some achievement. I think that's helped. Defensively, they've looked really good. I think Andy Ball, they've got a good goalkeeper in there, so he keeps things nice and organised at the back. I think one or two other players, I thought Jason Charmer, I like him, good player. And when you look at Charlie Harrison as well, fantastic. And just, you know, really at the back, Stephen Bettridge is in there and read things well for them. Ricky Newsham and other people, Cannonball, you know, they've all sort of played their part in this. But Tuesday's massive for them, isn't it? Because now the race is on for the championship.
Indeed it is. And the other team that they're fighting away with at the top of Division 2 is Onchan, who were away at Governors Athletic today. And Onchan, in terms of if Foxdale had themselves a comprehensive result, so did Onchan as well. A 7-0 victory away at Governors Athletic today to keep themselves top of DPS Limited Division 2, for now at least.
Yeah, and when you look at Onchan today, what a good result it was for them as well. It was a little bit tight when you look at the scoreline. They won 5-3. Adam McCulloch with two goals. Pat Riley got one. Leo Fox and Steve Whitley got the other one. So, you know, that's nice for them as well, because it makes this fascinating game on Tuesday evening more interesting, because, you know, there at 5-3 could have gone completely wrong for them, but they held out.
And Governors Athletic, Tony, again, a challenging season for them. Second from bottom in DPS Limited Division 2. So that means they have 10 points on the board for 19 games as well. But something you've commented on a couple of times this season is that Governors Athletic team showing some serious spirit throughout the season and picking up some good results just here and there as well.
I think they've been brilliant, and I've watched them, and you know, I've got a little report in here from Simon Hampson. I think it's worthy of reading, and it just says results for Governors games today. Onchan 7, Governors 0. That was in combination 2, and in the first team, Governors 3, Onchan 5. And when you look at it, Onchan, good side, and when you look at where Governors are in the league, it's a good performance. Goal scorers for Governors, Carl Jackson with 3. First hat-trick for the Governors, so well done to him. And also a message from him. Just want to say well done to Governors. Managed to scrape two teams together due to players being away or injured to make sure that the games got played. Credit to them, without conceding them. First team only had the bare 11 and worked hard going 2-0. Up, possibly, I don't know on that one. Unfortunately, a few quick goals put Onchan 3-2, so it must have been up at half time. Carl got his third with 25 to go, but Onchan scored 2 in the last 5 minutes to win the game. So credit to them. And there's a club, you know, people say that you know, football's struggling, you know, you put the graft in, you get the reward, and that's what's happened for Governors. They knew they had to sort of change things around. They've got a lot of new players come in, a lot of younger players, Rob, who've come in. And the future bodes well for Governors Athletic.
So yeah, that result, Governors Athletic 3, Onchan 5. And in terms of what that means for the Division 2 table, Tony, just looking at the way it stands up at the top at the moment. So both Onchan and Foxdale now confirmed to be promoted to the Canada Life Men's Premier League this season. Onchan top after 20 games on 53 points. Foxdale in second on 51 points, but having played a game less. And the two of them meet on Tuesday night as well. How big is this?
Massive. It's absolutely huge, and I'm sure there's going to be sleepless nights on there Monday for them. And this is, you know, special. You know, when it comes to something like this, it can happen in any leagues, but when you want to get into the Premier League, Onchan relegated last year, Foxdale for the last, what, 5 years, maybe more, have chipped away and been so close, but then it just sort of goes away from them at the end. And I'm sure there's going to be a large crowd up there, and all I can say is may the best team win.
Indeed. Okay, let's move on to the three games taking place in DPS Limited Combination 2 today. I say three games, only two went ahead. Gyms versus Douglas and District, that was awarded as an away walkover to Douglas and District. Gyms sadly unable to field a team this weekend. Nevertheless, two other games taking place. One of those, Onchan versus Governors Athletics, 7-0 winners Onchan today.
Yeah, they were, and good result for them. And once again, he doesn't like scoring ones or twos, does he? Four for him, George Butler with four goals. Joe Reese got one, Billy Coulter, and Ozzy Moore playing in there got a goal. So good result that for Onchan's combination, and keeps pressure at the top of the table.
And the only result that we were still waiting on, Colby versus Foxdale and DPS Limited Combination 2. Tony, have we had any updates on that one?
I haven't had anything on that one. Have we missed a score as well, Rob? Douglas High School All Boys Div 2.
We have indeed.
Against Gyms.
I humbly apologise for that one as well. We'll go back to that one now.
Okay.
So apologies those of you who are Douglas High School All Boys and a Gyms persuasion there, because that was another big scoreline in DPS Limited Division 2 today. Douglas High School All Boys, well, this is a commanding result, isn't it? Beating Gyms 11 goals to nil, Tony.
I think you were sticking up for Gyms there. You didn't want to announce the score, but good performance. And Carl can come into this one in a minute, because they've got some big games coming up as well. But the star, Jacob Stones, with four. I remember him scoring, I think it was seven, down at Paul Rose in the cup game. So well done to him. Nick Bass got a couple of goals. He's been playing well the last couple of games. Cameron Brew got a couple. Danny Gellin got one. Danny Corran. And Ireland senior men's manager Blaine Slattery got one as well. That must have been an open goal or a tap-in or something, because he's far too old to be scoring goals. But Carl, how'd the game go? 11-0, pretty convincing.
Yeah, just as Blaine's was a tap-in. Blaine's was a tap-in from about 2 yards away.
That's good for that.
But he's got himself on the score sheet. Missed a sitter with a header, had his eyes closed again. But it was an easy game, Tony, to be honest with you. We played well, we batted well. Fair play to Jim for not just giving up. Fair play to them, so... But I don't see us playing them again. I don't think that'll happen to
Right, okay. Let's have a look at the other games, because you've got still, what, four games to play?
Yeah.
I think it is. And I think you need to win every single one.
We do. So try and get the Paul Henry.
Yeah.
We
so do. Can you remember your teams that you got to play?
We've got to play Gyms.
Yeah.
Malou. We've got D&D on Tuesday, and then Onchan.
Okay. So Onchan's the big one, isn't
it? Yeah. I think hopefully it'll come down to that game.
Okay.
Hopefully that's... confidence in going into the other three to win them. Hopefully it'll come down to the Onchan, and we owe them one, because we should have beat them up at their place.
So, and as Rob's one. Looking at the other teams in leagues, what about Douglas High School Old Boys? Because you had a torrid start to the season.
Yeah.
You were a relegated side, so expected to do well, but what was the change around to make it come good at the end?
Just a few people coming in, signed a couple of young lads like that. Cameron Bruce coming from Corinthians, been absolutely brilliant. It's only 16, it's been really good. Just having the players available at the start of the season that we've got now, if it was that, I think we'd be a lot higher up in the league, because we're on a good run. We're hard to beat. We should have beat Foxdale on Tuesday, come back from 2-0 down, should have beat them. But just one of them. Hopefully we can all keep the same team for next year and go back at it again next year.
It was really important to get Sam Halliday back in sticks though, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah, Sam's a big miss. But he's just trying to get hold of him for two games in a row. Be nice.
Excellent, thank you.
And we'll be chatting with Carl again shortly for the live draw coming up in a few minutes' time. Well, after I suppose, interrupted that particular scoreline in DPS Limited Division 2, we can return to DPS Limited Combination 2. No, well pointed out, Tony. I'm glad you did. So, Onchan 7, Governors Athletic 0 in Combination 2.
Yeah, we've done that one, the scorers. Colby against Foxdale. Did we have any scorers in that one?
We not had that... no information in just
you had
a moment.
The latest result, didn't you?
I saw the scoreline coming towards the end of the contest that it was Colby 5, Foxtel 2, but that is not a confirmed result. So if anyone does have any information from that game in combination to Colby versus Foxtel, please do message in 166177. Well, in the meantime, let's just take a look at that DPS Limited Combination 2 table. That commanding 7-0 win for Onken today actually takes them back to the top of Combination 2 on 43 points after 16 games, 2 points clear of Douglas High School Old Boys on 41 points, having played 17. All very tight up at the top, Tony, because you've got Douglas Athletic still in the mix there, although they played 19 games on 40, so still in the running.
Yeah, still in the running, and you know, you've just got to sort of keep chipping away. But you know, it's clubs are getting pretty tired now, aren't they, Rob? We can see that towards the end of the season, and you know, clubs are calling games off because players are either injured, fatigued, or not available due to family pressures. So we just got to keep hoping that the games can keep coming.
Very well. Well, those are your results from today's football fixtures. That's not the end of the football chatter, though, because we do have the important matter of the live draw for the Manx Quality Sheds Hospital Cup semi-finals. So for those who may have missed it earlier, Tony, could you just remind us who's in the hat for the semi-finals of the Hospital Cup?
I certainly can, and we're down to the Manx Quality Sheds Hospital Cup semi-finals. These games take place next Saturday. Same time, 2:30, 11th of May. There's four teams in the hat. There's Peel, Ramsey, Laxey and Ayr. Carl, you have the bag there with the four balls in it. If you could do the semi-final draw, please.
Number one
is Ayr.
Number four.
And number four is Ramsey.
Number two.
And number two is a home game for Laxey.
Number three.
And number three is league leaders at the moment, Peel. So the draw for the Manx Quality Sheds Hospital Cup semi-finals to be played next Saturday is a Northern Derby, Ayr against Ramsey. Don't forget they meet on Tuesday as well. And you've got Laxey against Peel.
Yes, indeed. Another Northern Derby.
Well, so Tom, yeah. Carl.
Just coming back to that for the fact as well that Ayr United, of course, as we've already mentioned, still challenging for the Canada Life Men's Premier League. Ramsey, a consistent season towards the right end of the Canada Life Men's Premier League. Do you think this might give Ramsey a bit more incentive that even though they're not in the title race themselves, they're not too far off in the grand scheme of things from this Ayr United side?
I think Ramsey, right the way through the cup competitions this year, Rob, have been given the rough edge of the sword, really, to be fair, because they seem to be playing Peel in every sort of cup games. But, you know, that's what Ramsey want. And I was down there on Wednesday to present the Combination 1 trophy, and credit to them. The atmosphere down there was absolutely outstanding because, you know, Ramsey pushing forward. St John's made a heck of a game of it when they got it back to 4-4. And you just thought to yourself, you know, this is what it's all about. And, you know, Ayr against Ramsey, it's up north. We've got Laxey against Peel. I don't know how we're going to work this one out, Mr. Pritchard, because I know we like to cover the semi-finals, but you've got to be back in place to do the programme. You know, I'd like to try and get up to Ayr because that will be a humdinger, and we'll see if we can get yourself or maybe you know, someone else at Laxey against Peel, just so
we'll certainly
can
look into it at the very least.
Yeah, we'll certainly see. See, you're the boss. You're the one who pulls the cards out and tells us what to do. So I'll leave that one with you. But yeah, two big games there.
Indeed. And just coming to that other semi-final, I know you've just touched on it there, but Laxey against Peel, you weren't necessarily convinced by Laxey today, albeit a 3-0 victory over Douglas Royal today, yeah. And Peel just about getting the job done against St John's United here. Do you think maybe for both sides, from what we've heard today, particularly of the games that were played, that both maybe need to just step things up a little bit in this particular one to try and get one over on the other?
Well, I think Peel have been in good form. I think Laxey, you know, have been, you know, sort of a bit of Jekyll and Hyde. They've got a game on Tuesday against Douglas Royal, Laxey. But I would say that Peel will start off as favourites in that. But today, you know, against a 10-man St John's side for, you know, 60 minutes, they haven't been able to break them down. So that's credit to St John's. Frustration to Peel's forward line. You know, when you look at people like Thomas Brown there, you've got Lee Gale, you've also got Paul Whitehead and others who can step up and score goals, then, you know, today just didn't go for them. But that's football. It happens. And, you know, the sort of trophy now is for them to get to the final, because what a day out that will be. That's due to be played on the 25th of May at the Bowl. And that's what they'll be challenging for. And, you know, Ramsey will fancy the chances against Ayr, like Ayr will fancy the chances against Ramsey. And likewise for Laxey and Peel, they'll both feel that they can win it.
So those Hospital Cup semi-final fixtures, the Manx Quality Sheds Hospital Cup semi-finals, due to take place next Saturday, the 11th of May. Both games kicking off at 2:30 p.m. And just quickly before we let you both go, we'll have a look again to midweek. Another busy schedule coming up. In fact, before we do so, I've just had confirmation of the result, outstanding, Colby, that we were looking for. Thank you very much for sending this in. It did finish in DPS Limited Combination 2, Colby 5, Foxdale 2. And we have the Colby scorers in front of us. We had Eden Lydgate with 2, and then Finn Mulligan, Ollie Edge, and Adam Blackburn in there as well. So Colby 5, Foxdale 2 there. Thank you very much for that result indeed. But yes, turning to midweek, another busy set of fixtures to come. Tony, how is the fixture schedule looking? Because a number of teams, much like Carl has mentioned as well, Douglas High School Old Boys, some teams with a bit of catching up to do at the moment.
Awful lot of catching up to do, and the problem is the Paul Henry Gold Cup now, because we're miles away from it. You know, when you look at Old Boys, they've got to play sort of four games, so that's sort of 2 weeks gone. We're running out of time. Yes, we could play the semi-finals midweek and then try and get the final in, but with TT looming up as well, we just know that everything becomes more of a problem. So we'll keep working on it. If Old Boys sort of drop one, God forbid, Carl, then, you know, it might sort itself out quicker, but there's still quite a bit of football to do. And when you think of it, we've only presented at the moment one of the senior trophies, because we've still got the Premiership, we've also got the Division 2 to present, and still teams chipping away for the Combination 2 title as well.
So plenty to get through, and I think it'll just be a hope that the weather holds as well.
Yes,
because
please.
Of course, as has been well documented, the impact that the weather had, particularly during that February and March period, where a lot of games struggled, didn't they?
Yeah, it is, and that's what's happened. And, you know, there's all sorts, and I'll bring Carl in on this as well if I can, is, you know, a lot of walkovers being awarded. There's a lot of clubs out there who are sort of postponing fixtures because they're still in the run for silverware in another competition, and they're using a lot of the players in both. I understand that. That's no problem. There are one or two sort of clubs struggling. Malou coming out towards the end of the season from Combination 2. You've got gyms out there who have called off two or three games now, so they've got problems. And players are just... There's so many games coming in at the end, Rob. I think just some players are just saying, I'm done. Injuries as well. What do you think, Carl?
Yeah, I think people just giving up, like you said. And you don't blame them. You don't want to turn up on a Saturday and get beat 7-8, 9-0. It's just not nice. It's not enjoyable. So when you think that most people are not competing for anything, it's just easy to say, nah, I'm not playing. And most of them play golf. Cricket season has just started. So you've got a few other things coming up. So a lot of people play quite a lot of sports. So you think, well, why would I want to go on a Saturday, get beat 8-0 when I can just go play cricket?
Yeah.
And maybe win in that and enjoy that a bit more. So that's the way I see it. I don't think that... I think a lot of teams will pull out. So I think you'll get your break with the fixtures, Mep. I think a lot of people are kind of like pull out towards the end, unless you're in with a chance of something, a bit of silverware, something like that.
Yeah.
Well, that is interesting to hear that side of it, really. And just very quickly, finally, Tony, before we do let you go, I realise I've kept you for a couple of minutes longer than I originally promised. But what's been happening in the last couple of weeks, for those who don't know, there has been a campaign running from the Alabama Football Association, just looking to instil more respect in the game, in particular with regards to the junior side of football as well. So, Tony, a few weeks in now to this campaign that's been taking place, this respect campaign in the junior game, generally, how do you feel it's been received?
I think it's been received very well. Hopefully we'll touch on the senior side of it just after this. But, you know, junior football, it's all there. There's all sorts of different scenarios. You've got players, you've got parents, you've got sort of managers who can be a little bit over the top. And I just think, you know, certainly the disciplinary committee and others just decided that just something needed to be done, just to explain that at the end of the day, this is sport. Yes, we all want to win, but there's a way to do it. And, you know, we've seen it a bit of an ugly thing midweek in senior football. So we need to just address it. And that's what the Alaman FA have done, led by Dave O'Flanagan, and credit to him. I thought it was something different. And hopefully the players, the management and the parents take heed of it for next season, because, you know, it's not fun the Island Man FA don't want to deal with disciplinary matters. And unfortunately, you know, down at junior level is where players sort of pick up bad habits. And hopefully the way they're expected to conduct themselves comes across now. And we know little things are going to happen. We accept that because, you know, red mist can descend. You've played sport yourself, Rob, but it's something that the Isle of Man FA thought had to be done.
And you mentioned just before you got into that was the fact that you maybe wanted to expand a little more on the respect side of things in the senior game as well.
Yeah. And, you know, the way I see it is, you know, midweek, St George's against Corinthians, you know, that's a disciplinary matter now, so we can't discuss that. But what went on, you know, the amount of different sides of the story that I've listened is unbelievable. But the main one is, let's have a look at this, is a referee is there empowered to carry out the rules of the game in Manx football. And certainly in that game, the referee made a decision himself to give a red card. And then little things happen after that, that sort of escalate. And it's caused a big problem in Manx football. And one or two clubs will feel, yep, that's fine. What's happened is good. And then there'll be other clubs, Rob, who feel that it's totally unfair. And, you know, we've had some tough decisions to make this year, more than I would like to feel since I've been involved in fixtures. And, you know, it's a shame that it's coming to that. And if we're not careful, Rob, we're going to lose a lot of officials because, you know, I got an email from someone after a game, one of the Cal Cup semi-finals on Thursday, and it wasn't easy reading for me to read whether anything comes out of that. But the abuse that officials are receiving is not good, Rob, and it has to stop. Otherwise, we're going to have no games.
Plenty of discussion and education, no doubt, to come on the matter. Tony and Carl, both, thank you very much indeed.
Manx Radio Sport.
Well, finally tonight we're going to turn our attention to motorsport, and we're now less than a month from the return of the Isle of Man TT races, with the Snaefell Mountain course set to come to life from the 27th of May. This week we've caught up with some of the local riders looking to make an impression at the racing fortnight. One of those is Joe Yearsley, who is eyeing his TT debut in 2024. A breakthrough year on the roads in 2023 saw him claim victories and lap records at both the pre-TT Classic road races and the Manx Grand Prix, as well as a podium finish at the Cairo race in Mexico. I spoke with him to find out how preparations are going as he gets ready to head down Bray Hill in the next few weeks.
Everything's going according to plan in terms of the bike. We've invested heavily in a new super sport bike for this year. I'm very grateful to have fantastic sponsors on board that have all played a massive part in having this happen. So we've got a brand new R6 for the TT. Haven't had a chance to ride it yet, and we're hoping to get out before TT, but unfortunately having a little off at Scarborough a few weeks ago and chipping a bone in my hand, it's thrown a bit of a spanner in the works. But other than that, everything's in place for TT. I've been in the hyperbaric chamber for the last 2 weeks and then started some physio, so fingers crossed we'll be fit and ready for TT.
And looking at the last 12 months, it's been quite a rise for you. You know, you were a race winner and lap record holder at the pre-TT Classic last year, of course a race winner and new lap record in the senior MGP at the 2023 Manx Grand Prix. How would you describe these last 12 months for yourself in terms of your progress?
It's been an emotional roller coaster, to be honest. It's all been very positive, but it's been a lot to take in. I mean, you know, becoming a dad last year of a little boy was born on the 1st of July, and your life changes, you know, drastically with that. And then, you know, having the good pre-TT and the Manx Grand Prix, and it's all been quite a lot to take in, to be honest, because obviously after the Manx Grand Prix, you go straight back to work and get on with family life. And then it's only now when you kind of look back at what we've done, and, you know, it is special. And I'd just like to thank everyone that's been a part of it, kind of making it happen. You know, it does really mean a lot.
And looking ahead to TT a few weeks away, it might sound like a very obvious question indeed, but how much are you looking forward to it? And also, what are you most looking forward to about it?
Yeah, I think anyone that's ever started road racing, no matter what kind of level you're at, whether it's club level or, you know, coming from a BSB background and going to the TT, it's the pinnacle of any sort of road racing, isn't it? It's the biggest international road race event in the world. And I think being Manx makes it so much more special for me personally. It was great to do the Manx Grand Prix because my dad was a previous winner, but everything that we've done over the past 3 years has been leading up to the this moment of making our debut at the TT. So to finally be here is amazing, and I'm very much looking forward to it. But at the same time, there's always the nerves there as well. But this year, as I've said, you know, previously, it's you're up against the best in the world now, and you think you're fast at the Manx Grand Prix, but when you go to the TT, it's a totally different level. So I'm just gonna look, I'm just really looking forward to doing it. I'm just going to go out there and without any major expectations, just to go out there and try and improve on the times for the Manx Grand Prix and kind of let it come to me naturally. You know, I think it's not a sport you can rush for obvious reasons, and this will probably be the only year for the rest of my career that I can come to the TT with no pressure and just enjoy it.
It can take people several years to get used to the TT course good and proper before they feel comfortable. So how important is it that you don't rush that process, that you settle into it?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's definitely a positive thing that I have done the Manx Grand Prix before. You know, it just gives you that insight into the course, and we didn't really get a massive amount of track time at the Manx Grand Prix because, you know, now with you know, there was the bit of weather and the race has got cut short and stuff like that. But, you know, the TT, you know, you get double the amount of races. Although I'm only competing in two classes, we still get four races, and you do get a lot more track time. And even just to be on track, you know, with the faster guys and stuff like that, even if they come past you and you only get to stick with them for three or four corners, there's so much more you can learn off these sort of guys. And, you know, it's just, it's very positive to be at the TT and up against with the best guys in the world. And there's so much you can kind of learn from them. I mean, I was very lucky at the Manx Grand Prix to get taken round with a lap with Michael Dunlop. And although he, you know, very quickly said, listen, there's no point in me teaching out to do 130 mile an hour lap because you're nowhere near that yet. But he put me right in so many places where I was in the wrong gear, you know, and offline and stuff like that. And the knowledge that them kind of guys have had, and I've done loads and loads of laps with Chris Palmer on the lead up to the Manx Grand Prix. Nick Jeffries, you know, there's been so many people that have played a part to all. And, you know, the experience that these guys have got that have competed at the TT, there's just so much you can absorb from them.
And just finally, a quick question on the pre-TT Classic, obviously a very different kettle of fish to the TT itself. Obviously a great time there last time. You had one brilliant battle with Jamie Coward for that post-classic senior superbike win. So what would it mean to be challenging at the right end again when you get to Balam?
Yeah, you know, it's a very special meeting to me because it was my first ever road meeting back, you know, in 2022. And this year I've got three bikes which I can actually race in four races this year. So I've only ever done one previously down there, so it's fantastic to get some more track time. So I've got the ZXR 400, which is Neil Woods of Ramsey. I'm riding a 1970s Royal Enfield Bullet for Flitwick Motorcycles, and I've obviously got the Mistral Classic Race Team Classic Superbike. So no, I'm really looking forward to getting back down there this year. You know, there's always going to be a close race regardless, and it's not going to be an easy one to win. But, you know, I'll always go down there and give it 110% as I always do. And as long as everyone's fast and safe and enjoys it, I think that's all that matters.
Manx Radio Sport.
Well, another Isle of Man competitor once again looking set to be involved at this year's TT is Michael Evans. Well, in 2023, the Santa Man managed top 20 finishes in five of the seven races he contested, including a highest of seventh place in the Super Twin TT Race 2. He's heading off this weekend to Northern Ireland to continue his preparations at the Northwest 200, which starts next Wednesday. Well, speaking to Manx Radio this week, Evans explains how he hopes to continue on the upward curve of progress and what he thinks what he makes of the Manx talent making its way into the local road racing scene at this moment in time.
Yeah, we're getting there. It's been a bit of a tricky start to the year, just trying to get everything sorted and get bikes all ready and prepared for racing, and, you know, getting signatures and stuff like that. So I think we're well on our way and off to Northwest. It's probably similar for everybody, but I can only go off my point of view. And it's just, there's many things that it's just tricky to get stuff done when you need to get it done. And, you know, there's always some sort of a delay getting parts, getting things like this. It always seems to kind of run on much longer than what you think it will do or hope it would do. So, yeah, it's about trying to tie those bits up as quickly as you can and get everything sorted.
Quickly turning then to TT last year, few positives for yourselves during TT last year. So what were the kind of main things you enjoyed about TT last year?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the weather was great, which was that helps everybody. And for me personally, I kind of went quicker on all bikes and all races. So, you know, it's got to be a positive for me. So, yeah, it was a good year, to be fair. I'm hoping the weather plays ball this year and we can kind of take another step in all the classes. I personally haven't had a year at the TT where everything's ran smoothly, and last year was no different. There's a few small little issues, more handling wise rather than actually mechanically. I mean, I missed out on the second Supersport race, broke down on the second lap, so that was a little bit of a disappointment as I was kind of on for my best result in the Super Sport class. But yeah, no, that was it.
When you look at, say, those who are taking part from this year and maybe going forwards as well, we've got another, I suppose, let's call it the next generation of Manx riders coming through. Obviously, you've got the likes of yourself on the grid, but also we're seeing Joe Yeardsley make his debut this year. You've got the likes of Marcus Simpson. The likes of Nathan Harrison and Connor Cummins have established themselves as well. So, you know, how good is it to see this number of Manx riders involved in the likes of the TT at the moment?
Yeah, it's great. It's great to see a few of the lads, a lot of the lads now all involved. It's yeah, it's good to see. And to be fair, it's not even that there's a lot of us. There's a lot of us, and we're all capable. You know, there's not really anybody in that kind of group who isn't capable of top 20s at some point. Maybe not this year, but at least top 20s or further up in years to come. So with there being, I don't know, what is it, 6 or 7? Around that kind of number of really, you know, good riders, good Manx riders at the TT. Something like quite special, to be fair, and I'm glad that I'm part of that.
Even if it's not from yourself or those like immediately around you, do you think there's maybe sometimes a bit of an extra expectation on Manx riders at the TT and the Manx Grand Prix? Because some might assume, oh, they're from the island, they'll know this course back to front. But just driving on it at 30 miles an hour every day is completely different to actually racing on it.
Yeah, I think there's been a few comments like, kind of, if you do the Manx to begin with, then there's a bit more pressure because you're kind of not expected to win, but you kind of know where you're going, and the calibre's not as good at the Manx, whereas sometimes the pressure's off at the TT. But I didn't really see it as that, to be honest with you. I mean, yeah, for when I'd done the Manx, yeah, I knew where I was going, but that probably helped for the first 3 laps because I knew if it was left or right. But, you know, we don't drive around here at 150 miles an hour and you don't use all side of the road and you don't get all the bumps and all the jumps, so yeah, it helps, but it's not a, I don't think it's a superpower.
Looking to this year then, so just quickly in terms of the machinery you're going to be running this year, what, if any, changes have you got for this time?
I've got my own Suzuki again, but that's, I wouldn't say improved, it's not improved mechanically, but I think I've got, because I rode it last year, I've got a kind of a base setup for it. So a setup that I know can do the time that I did last year, and I know that can be improved because I know that was wrong in a few areas. So that's something that's I'm excited to go with. I'm also on a Triumph 765, which seems to be quite popular in the Super Sport class. That's with the Smith Racing guys, same team I was with last year. And I'm on an ER6 Kawasaki twin for the twin class. So I haven't ridden that. That'll just be first time I ride, it'll be down Bray Hill. So that's it'll be exciting.
As usual, I'm not going to ask you to make any ultimatums or predictions, but what would you class as progress in 2024?
Progress, I think we've had this a few times, but it's just I want to take that next step and kind of get a bit closer to the top guys, because I feel like I am as capable as some of those guys in the bigger teams. Definitely as capable, but again, improvements, it's not the, you know, I seen that Connor's been racing around here for, I might be wrong, 18 years maybe, no, for a good while anyway, 14 years, something like that, a good while. So, and I'm on, this is my 4th TT, so there's plenty of time, so improvements, any area of improvements is a good step forward, and, you know, take my time and small steps, get there.
Manx Radio Sport.
Well, finally tonight, do you think you have what it takes to take on one of the Isle of Man's biggest mass participation events this summer? Well, the 2024 Parish Walk is edging ever closer, and already over 1,000 people are registered to challenge themselves on all or part of an 85-mile walking route across the island on the 22nd of June. With entries for this year's event closing in just over 24 hours' time, I spoke this week with race director Ray Cox in what will be his 29th year in his role. He's told us about what the demand is like for 2024 and what he feels makes the Parish Walk a standout occasion.
The entries are coming in steady. It looks like we'll probably be on a par to last year when they all finally get in. Sunday night, midnight is the absolute deadline, of course.
Are the numbers encouraging from your standpoint? How confident are you that they're around the right levels?
Well, in the post-COVID year, we had a massive bumper entry, and all sports across the board experienced a real big boost in their entry levels. And of course, that's all died down. So we're back to what I would call the pre-COVID level, and we're consistent with that. Getting back to sort of 1,200, 1,300 numbers, that makes the event work very well. Our infrastructure sustains that perfectly and, of course, helps us with our long-term objectives.
As of next year, it'll be coming up to 30 years since you first got involved in capacity in the parish walk. What keeps you coming back and keeping involved? What's so special about it?
Well, it's what brings all of us back. It's just an incredible experience. The atmosphere in Parish Walk Day, it is unique. And I suppose every event that has a peculiarity to it, we think we're unique and whatever. But the Parish Walk is special. And on Parish Walk Day, the Isle of Man is shown in its best light. A real strong community spirit, a real fun day out. It's great to see the human endeavour of people achieving what they want to achieve. And at the finish line, you see the full spectrum of emotion.
How much does the Parish Walk, I suppose, embody Manx spirit?
Oh, very much so. And I think absolutely the local communities embrace it. They look forward to it. They put on things. It's nice to have our mackle barbecue. It's nice to have the music down across four ways. We've got some real traditional things that come on every year. And again, communities participate. They come together, people mixing, people talking, people enjoying the Manx countryside. That's really fantastic. And that's another aspect of the parish walk. Yes, it's a superb athletic achievement to finish the parish walk or even to walk to Peel or whatever, but it's everybody else participating, everybody coming out, their friends and family supporting them. That's what makes the parish walk special.
Manx Radio Sport.
Ray Cox, the race director of the parish walk, with entries for the 2024 event in just under 24 hours time, midnight tomorrow Sunday. Well, before we leave you, we can just give you the final results from the Junior Open taking place on the first day of the Isle of Man Youth and Junior Cycling Tour. Hundreds of some of the most promising young riders across the Isle of Man, UK and further afield, taking part in 2 days of racing across Ellerslie and Jerby, with the first stage taking place today at Ellerslie. The Junior Open was the highlight and the finale to the first day's proceedings. Harry Hudson of Harrogate Nova Race Team taking victory in the Junior Open 12 lap race on the Ellerslie course, and he's not the only one from the Harrogate side on the podium this weekend. So Harry Hudson taking first place, his teammate Louis Herring taking third, and between them it's a Manx rider on the podium as well. Ivan Sorby of the Utmost Mezzo Isle of Man Junior Cycling Team taking second place in an exciting race over 12 laps at Ellerslie as well. James Beagley, who led for much of the race, he finished fourth for the Prologue Racing Team just outside the podium finishes, and a top five finish for another Manx rider in the form of William Kerfey for the Utmost Mezzo Isle of Man Junior Cycling Team. So Harry Hudson, the number 15 jersey of the Harrogate Nova Race Team, winning today's Junior Open on the first stage of the Isle of Man Youth and Junior Tour taking place at Ellerslie today. Ivan Sorby of the Utmost Mezzo Isle of Man Junior Cycling Team taking second, and Louis Herring, also of Harrogate Nova Race Team, taking third. And just a reminder, the second and final stage of the event will be taking place tomorrow up at Jerby, so Sunday the 5th of May. And just a reminder of some of the road closures to be telling you about on Sunday. There will be closures in place between 11:30 a.m. tomorrow morning and no later than 6 p.m. And those closures will be Summerhill Road to the junction with Bretney Road, Bretney Road to Jerby East Road, Jerby East Road to the junction with the A17, the Andrus Road, the A17 Andrus Road to St Jude's Crossroads, and the A13 Jerby Road from St Jude's Crossroads to the junction with Summerhill Road. Access will be maintained at St Jude's Crossroads, Jerby Road and St Jude's Road. So the closures there will be in place from 11:30 a.m. tomorrow until no later than 6 p.m. So if you are travelling around in the north of the island tomorrow, please do bear those in mind, particularly if you're heading in and out of the Jerby area at any point tomorrow afternoon. And details of those are available, those road closures as well, if you want to peruse them for yourselves, over at manxradio.com. Well, thank you so much for joining us. That is all we have time for on Saturday Sport Classified on Manx Radio AM 1368 this week. We will now be rejoining Radio Caroline over on Manx Radio DAB and Digital. Have yourself a wonderful rest of your Saturday evening and a wonderful rest of your weekend as well. And even in the bleak conditions, maybe the time to wrap up warm this weekend. But whatever you're doing, have a fantastic time this weekend. Now rejoining Radio Caroline. This is Rob Pritchard saying, from all of us here, goodbye for now.
Manx Radio Sport.